It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. It is always a pleasure for me and a good day when I can come into my little air-conditioned studio because it's been very hot in San Diego. And it's sort of my little sanctuary these days. Got the puppy down at my feet. So far, so good. I took her for a nice walk this morning so I could poop her out so she would stay quiet. Gave her her favorite chew bones and, of course, a cookie. So I'm hoping that Mamba's going to behave. She's usually pretty good, aren't you, babe? Yeah. She's just looking at me like, yeah, I got this, Ma. So today, I'm so blessed. I mean, I say this all the time, but I have really, really good friends. And my dear, dear friend, Sandy Bannister, who is like the queen of all media, she retired from a huge marketing PR position with a local TV station years ago. And actually, she didn't retire that long ago, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, I don't know. Anyway, Sandy's awesome. Love her to pieces. We get together as frequently as we can, although we have not seen one another since this whole, you know, pandemic thing started in March. So I've been missing her, but she sent me a cool little note and said, Jane, I think I have somebody really good for your show. She's a massage therapist. I love her. I think you'll love her. And I said, oh, yeah, let's do it, because I haven't had a massage therapist on, but I know how important massage is, especially for grief. And I have a great little story. But first, let me introduce Alexis. Alexis Williams, lifelong passion for healing. She runs and operates a wellness center and has for the past 26 years. She discovered the grief and recovery method, which I'm going to ask her all about. She's a graduate of UCSD Center for Mindfulness, which I'm very in awe of. I actually got to tour that a couple years ago with my sister Gail, who works for Michigan State and studies mindfulness. So that's really cool. And she's a certified Chopra meditation teacher. Deepak Chopra, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. I thought so. I thought it's not Chopra, it's Chopra. It's our good buddy Deepak, which I talked to years ago too. So anyway, welcome to the show, Alexis. Thank you for taking a half hour out of your life and being willing to sit down and have a chat with me on the next room.
Yeah, thank you, Jane. It's good to be here. And Sandy is amazing. I've known her amazingly for 20, I think almost the full time I've had my office, which was 26 years. Quite a long relationship.
I'm
happy to be here.
Yeah, she's just a beautiful soul. You know, I mean, she's so all about peace and about compassion and not the divisiveness that's been going on right now. And she actually just had a great post this morning, something about like, hey, come on, you know, can we just stop the arguing and can we just understand that people are coming from different places and that doesn't mean you need to hate on them. Let's try a little understanding. Anyway, enough is Sandy, but we love her. So that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So Alexis, you have had your own wellness center for 26 years. Let's talk about how important, in my estimation, massage is going through the grieving process. Let's talk about that, because you discovered the grief and recovery method after dealing with your unresolved grief. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah. So what happened for me was when I was 10 years old, sadly, my father died suddenly and I was there. So it was a little traumatic.
Wow.
And that being said, back in the day, I'm getting up there in years. It was 1969. They didn't really have a process so much for handling children that have gone through losing someone. And my family was quite small. And actually, it kind of fell apart. My mom had a hard time, and my brother left for Europe.
Mm.
So long story short, I just got on with things the best I could. And that created a lot of anxiety. You know, I got panic attacks and anxiety that I had to work through. That led me to the healing arts, becoming a massage therapist. And then a whole, you know, unfolding of a journey, you know, ending with this, the grief recovery method and meditation. So I don't know if that helps you.
It does help me. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. Did you say you were 10 when your father died?
Yes, I was 10.
Oh, sweetheart. I can't even imagine. I'm still grieving, and my dad was 91. And, you know, how old am I? He just died a couple of years ago. I was like 57, you know, and I'm still processing. So you were probably, I'm assuming, since back in 1969, there were not many, like, your mother was just trying to keep it together probably and keep you fed and get you out the door to school. She probably didn't have much to give you. So you came into the healing arts trying to heal yourself. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's right. Yes. It became a quest. It's a beautiful journey, and I'm so grateful for it. So I learned many, many things. But the way I worked with it was working with clients such as Sandy. And then I had always, always been so interested in Eastern philosophy. So I wove that into it as well, along with traveling to the East and Southeast Asia, so that I could have kind of a firsthand experience of the origins of these philosophies and thoughts.
Mm.
So that's a little bit of my journey.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was just talking about Dad. He and my mom were married for 62 years, so full-on love affair. Not that everything was always a bed of roses and, you know, unicorns and rainbows, but they really were a team. And he was completely lost when my mother left to go to the next room. And so he came out here to stay with us for a month, which was awesome. My older sister helped arrange things, and we got him out here in the sunshine because he was in Michigan. Thought it would be good, change of pace, healthy for him, and just got kind of change his mind about a few things or help him grieve. And I set up an appointment for him to go to have a massage. And I spoke to the women beforehand and I said, look, this guy just lost his best friend for 62 years. He's probably going to break down and start sobbing when you start getting into his deep tissue. Just forewarned is forearmed, right? And so it was so good for him. Like, and he did cry, but it was really lovely. So there's a lot of healing that goes on with touch. Let's talk about how massage can help with someone that's currently going through the grieving process.
Yeah, well, just to let you know, Jane, I'm not working actively as a massage therapist, but I'm more than happy to go back there and share what I learned. As a massage therapist, it is so fascinating in that oftentimes people would be coming, just as what you're saying, through a breakup, a loss of a loved one, even a loss of pets. It wasn't uncommon at all, people trying to seek some comfort. And I think it's just the magic of touch, you know, and without it sounding strange, the intimacy without words, right? And I mean that in a, you know, technical way of sorts. But just the idea that it's all an energetic exchange to some degree, and it allows people to just be without having to explain themselves or anything else. They can just be, and just simply, it's just a healing experience. I don't know how much more to say to it.
Right. So in your wellness center, what exactly are you doing, and what kind of work are you doing with your clientele? That's in regards to grief and death.
Yes. So primarily I do grief work with a grief recovery method. I have different modalities that I use. That's my primary one. And do you want me to go into a little bit about that? Or?
Absolutely. This is all about you, Alexis. They're tired of hearing me yap my jaws.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, came into my world, and it helped me so much with my, what I'll call unresolved grief, and that was my father. And actually, though, I just also had a divorce after 40 years. I mean, people think, why would you do that? But actually, it was very healthy. My husband, or I still call him my husband, we're on very good terms.
Good.
That particular event prompted me to heal more, and I discovered the grief recovery method. And so what it is, it's more of an educational way of doing grief. and that sounds a little clinical, but because it's action-oriented and there's an outcome to it, it actually was the piece that I needed to move forward. So I can, I don't know how to, maybe you can help me, Jane, explain a little bit more what you would be interested in hearing.
Yeah, well, if it's an educational way of dealing with grief, and just tell me what are those pieces? Can you tell me about the pieces of this educational part of grief?
Sure, yeah. So it's a 8-week process. I have a client currently now, so this client is actually going through a romantic breakup, but
okay.
It was a long, it's a 26-year romantic breakup. And you start with just this idea, we all have assumptions as to what grief is, and through our culture or maybe our family, and it may not really fit for exactly how we're feeling emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the opportunity to fully express our feelings. And we can have reduced concentration, numbness, our sleep can be all over the place, our eating habits can be all over the place. And we're walking around sort of wounded, really, without being able to put it into words or, move forward. So with that being said, there's like these 7 weeks in which we explore our particular definition of grief and what we're actually feeling. So the work actually goes from intellectualizing grief into feeling grief through our heart, and we're able to put words to that. And on doing so, we actually go through a process where we end up with a sense of completion of all the unsaid things we may have wanted to say or things we feel sorry about, things we wanted to forgive that person for. It's a way to bring it to just update it. It's not a finishing or an ending of that relationship, but it's a way to bring all of that stuff that's sitting inside emotionally to a point where we can then move forward.
I love it. I'm taking notes because it just makes a lot of sense to me. And I think what's important that you're talking about is each one of us deals with grief a different way, and it does disrupt eating patterns. For me, it was eating patterns for sure. I mean, I actually had to force myself to eat after my mom passed. And anyone that knows me knows that that's kind of like, really? She loves to eat. Well, I couldn't. I knew I needed to, but I literally had to be mindful and sit down and put the food on the fork and put it in my mouth and actually chew, because I don't recall, what was going on there. I was like swimming in so much grief. So I think it's important that everybody recognizes what it is to them, because it's a different experience for each of us.
Yeah. And also grief is cumulative. So often, we've gone through small and large grief throughout our whole life, and they're just kind of sitting in there. And then something can happen and it can kind of uproot all of it, where we get a, heightened response to the current grief, right?
Right.
So the reason that's so important, say, in a romantic relationship, it can, as you go through the process and you come to a form of what I'll call completion, updated current, you have like the more opportunity to move into another relationship without carrying all that unspoken, unfelt emotion with you into the next relationship. So I find that to be particularly valuable in my case, especially right now.
Are you finding a lot of, I don't want to assume, but because of what is happening on the planet, are you finding a lot of just interesting cases because of loss of income, relationships, occupations? Are life the way it used to be prior to when everything sort of blew up was kind of, normal and off to the store you go. And now there's this whole process and, it's daunting almost. It's like, do I really need to go to the store, or can I just open up a can of tuna fish and deal, which is me, because I'm not a big fun shopper anyway.
I think what I noticed mostly is, as I was speaking to the accumulative grief, because of this time, we've had a lot of time to go within, or at least it's harder to avoid. One of the classic things, especially when people that have great careers, is to just stay busy and avoid their feelings, right, around any kind of loss. And with now, with the, like you're saying, loss of job, loss of income, and loss of, like, freedom, like with these moms, I know moms with their kids at home. Mm-hmm. Of course, they love their kids and all of it. It's just they no longer have what they used to have in terms of their routine and their way to self-care, and all of these things are diminished. So they're finding themselves, you know, kind of getting, basically going into grief. So absolutely, these times are unprecedented, as we all know. And it's bringing up all kinds of things that I'm noticing.
Yeah, there's, you know, because it manifests in all different ways. Grief is not just when you lose the physical connection with a loved one. You know, we can grieve all kinds of things. And that the fact that you brought up freedom, that's a biggie. You know, just hopping in your car and running over to a friend's house to have a cup of coffee and opening their door and, you know, throwing your arms around them and hugging them. You know, that's like that routine for me with a couple of my girlfriends has stopped happening. And I really, really, really miss hugging my friends, you know, and I haven't seen any of them. I mean, we live a pretty quiet life anyway, but I have a good group of friends and we haven't been getting together because we're being mindful and supportive of the situation. And we certainly don't want to get someone ill. I still have a mother-in-law in her 80s. And so, you know, if I come into contact with somebody, even if they're, you know, have been exposed to it, and then I bring it home and I touch my husband and then he goes out to see his mom in the desert. Who wants that? That it's a crazy, crazy time right now that we have to navigate.
Yeah. And they even list loss of trust, just being like some of them are loss of trust, safety, control, even faith, you know, and of course, things such as fertility and all kinds of things that we don't often think of as, you know, a loss and going through a grieving process.
So, oh, sure.
Yeah, that's why I find it to be so, it's such a wonderful process because it actually accounts for all of that. It's just a really healthy way to work with it.
I love it. So, I'm sorry.
There can also be conflicting things. Sometimes we have something really great happen, and at the same time, we're needing to let go of something else. And it can actually have a grief response to it. Because, you know, that's what we do. We're kind of trained to acquire things, not to lose them. And so when we lose things, there's just this little dip, you know, there can be.
Yeah, you know, and also, you know, letting go of things that maybe aren't necessarily good for you and relationships or things that you've been carrying around, you know, whatever it is that you carry. You know, we pack our crap with us in a backpack sometimes, and we just got to unload it like we would unload bricks.
That's a perfect example, Jane. Perfect. That's exactly it.
Now, let's, you know, the show is, I started this show because I just have a fascination with what comes next. And I really love my life here on this side. So I know the universe has big ears. So if, you know, I know it's tuned in. So Jane's good. Jane's healthy, happy. She wants to be here forever so she can, not forever, but long enough to, you know, see grandkids and play with them and travel a lot more. You know, I've still got a lot of good years, at least one would hope. But like my mother said, you know, God willing, none of us really know. You know, you're here one day and the next you're not, you're on the other side. What have you done with the dealing of your dad, losing your dad at the age of 10? How do you communicate or do you communicate with your father?
Yeah. You know, I love what you're bringing up right now. Since I, you know, just went through this divorce, I would reach out to my father in terms of, I don't know that it was prayer, but I'd try to find him somewhere in the ethers, you know, and speak to him. And I started finding money, like coins of all kinds. And it's uncanny. Like, I have them right here in front of me. I'll jingle one so you can hear. I have this little box of all kinds, from quarters to pennies. And I found them in the craziest, craziest places. And so in my view, I can't help it. I honestly believe that it's one of the signs they often say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just brings me, I don't know, it's like a peace and a confidence and a sense of well-being, you know. I get like a smile, you know.
Sure. I do know. I know your story well.
Yeah. So I have all kinds of practices. One of the other things that meditation has helped me a lot with is just the idea to get quiet enough and connected. You know, it's not that you have to do that to have see your loved ones afar, but I found it to be like a deepening for me to also see more synchronicities and just get a little bit more aware of messages that are around us all day long.
Right.
I just love that. So I have no idea where we go. I haven't, you know, made an opinion about that. I just think we're all still sort of here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really like that.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into that. So, you know, the show is called The Next Room because in my estimation, we're here now in this physical form. And then when we leave, we're still energy and we just sort of are right here, just behind this other veil. And I use the analogy of the next room because I think people can wrap their heads around we're in this room and then we're just over here in this next room. So when you say that you think that we're still here, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know how it is, but it's a feel sense or what, but it's a knowing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in the most unlikely moments. In fact, it was amazing because my grandmother came to me the other day and it was just plain as day, meaning I didn't see her, you know, I didn't have a vision. I just felt her presence. And I've heard other people say that, so I don't feel so crazy talking about it.
Oh, you're not crazy.
So, yeah, it was so real. And then the next part for me comes to kind of linger with it to see what, you know, communicate a little bit.
Sure.
I feel that there's, it's a goodness, right? And it's a help. And so I feel that, for me anyway, I like to spend enough time, like I say, to linger with it and kind of understand what the message is.
Right. Good. I love that you sensed and felt your grandmother. What was her name?
Vivian.
I'm sorry?
Oh, Vivian?
Vivian. Beautiful name.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Shout out to Vivian because, you know, in my estimation, you're just right here with us right now. You know, the fact that you would share that with us means that she's right here. She's probably like sitting right there.
I don't know.
Yeah. Saying, go, Alexis, go. I love it when you talk about me. I feel like we really, whether or not, and I know everyone has an opinion, and I honor that. And some people think this is a bunch of hooey, and that I, you know, I talk to dead people all the time. It's kind of my thing, but I'm okay with it. I mean, obviously, I have a radio program, and anything goes. I think it's great, and I really believe strongly that in invoking their name or a thought or a memory or sharing a funny story or a recipe about that person, you really keep that, you know, you keep them right here with you. You keep them in your heart and in your thoughts. So if it could be as clinical as it's just a thought or it's a memory, I get it if that's how you feel. I really feel it is more tactile. Like I feel like they really, really, really are here with us.
Yeah.
We just,
I agree.
Our small, our brains, the way they're set up, at least at this time, mine anyway, we're unable to see them anymore because they've just changed forms. So good. I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. So thanks for showing up today there, Vivian. It's nice to have you on The Next Room. And of course, now that you're in The Next Room, you can send your lovely granddaughter, Alexis, all kinds of fun things. I love it. Well, this has been really fun, and I'm just so grateful that you would take the time to speak to me, because first of all, I appreciate when somebody with a professional background is willing to open up a conversation and not be afraid. I mean, why not? Whether or not there's any truth to any of it, it is my truth, just like you have your set of truths, right? And I respect that. I respect everybody's version of whatever they feel it is and what comes next. So that's pretty awesome. So I appreciate you doing that. My guest is Alexis Williams, lifelong passion for healing. She operates a wellness center. She's discovered the grief and recovery method. And Alexis, big question for you. Do you help people online, like via Zoom or on the phone, or do they have to be actually physically sitting with you?
No, my whole business is set up for online. It's typically Zoom.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Love Zoom. Zoom is just like, come on now. I mean, it's so fun, and it's actually free if you keep it under a certain amount of time, which I'm sure you have an upgraded account. But, one of those silver linings, which I've been finding so many, although it's a very deeply sad time on the planet with the loss of life and our freedom and everything else that has gone on, I'm still finding all kinds of cool things. And technology being a huge, huge part of what we're experiencing right now. And also the solitude and the ability for us to discover more about ourselves, to really take that hardcore look at who we are and take that time, maybe do a few sit-ups or learn to meditate or read a new book or start learning how to play the drums or expressive dance or pick up a paintbrush, whatever it is. This time is unique. I don't think that we are always going to have this moment where we are told like, hey, appreciate it if you batten down the hatches and stay put and go inside.
Yeah, so true. And I'm so grateful through my work, because I can do it on Zoom, I have met amazing people around the globe. Of course, all English speaking, but that being said, it's just been phenomenal. So it stretched me in a way that I would have never imagined.
I love that. What is your website? You didn't include that in your bio, and I want to be able to promote that for you.
Okay, great. The best way to do it for the grief recovery is just go to thegriefrecoverymethod.com,
okay.
And then my name, Alexis Williams.
Okay.
And then that'll take them directly.
Okay, good. So it's griefrecoverymethod.com, and then I search for Alexis Williams, and I will be able to connect with you.
Yeah, or and also the zip code, which is 92014.
92014, so you can search for Alexis via zip code. Very cool. Well, I hope people reach out to you. You sound like you have a lot to offer, and a big shout out and thanks to Sandy for connecting us. I told you this would go fast, and we're already at the end of our show.
Yeah.
So I know. In closing, is there any final thoughts, or you have a quote or just sage advice for our listeners?
I think, I love what we talked about at the end. Just to have everyone just keep an open mind and take the time to get enough quiet and explore, who all else might be here with us, meaning loved ones. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Beautiful. Perfect. Thank you so much, Alexis Williams, for coming on The Next Room. Keep an open mind, get quiet, and explore. I'll talk to you next week on The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to The Next Room.